We are going through this idea. For me, the idea was, what is love? And so, of course, you have to have a great song to go with it. So if you remember the old skit from Saturday Night Live in the 90s, what is love? So usually, we did it last week. I don't want to do it every week, have the music and the smoke machine, you know. I didn't do smoke machine, but I definitely ran out and danced. And anyway, so just imagine that already happened. And we went through the relationship that starts all relationships. It's the trickle-down economics of relationships is our relationship with God. And so as we, God, because God is love. And all relationships, for them to work and to be what we want them to be, require love. And so God is the source of love. God created relationships. So if any of these relationships, one of the themes is, if you want it to work the way you dream of, go to the God who made it that way. Right? Then we looked at marriage and this romantic love. But I'll re-preach that. So today, though, we're at probably one of the hardest ones for me. It's family. So talking about our family relationships today. And the thing about family is, not everybody will create a family, right? Some people will get married, some people will have kids, some won't. But we were all children. So we all have parents. We all have someone we came from, right? And so it affects us all. And we didn't choose family. Right? You didn't have a choice in this. In 1986, I'm in seventh grade. I didn't have a choice about wearing a pink sweater with a collar for Easter pictures. It's a real story. My mom, I said, "It's pink, Mom." She says, "It's salmon. Wear it." And then we took all these pictures. Of course, thank God there was no internet or anything back then, so it really only got so far, the pictures. But, you know, you don't choose that stuff. And so this is family. And it's like family can be a place of great joy and comfort and provision, but it can also be, at the same time, a place of being wounded and confused and scared. So we want to look at what is the idea through family, and what's guiding me in this conversation is first thinking, what was God thinking? Like, what's his purpose for families? And so we'll look at, we got to read it so we know what God actually was trying to do or did do with families. And so if you go to page 1 of your Bible, Genesis 1, we'll start in verse 27. And this is just God's purpose. This is what God was thinking when he decided that people are going to make babies, and babies are going to carry the names and the facial structures and all the, carry all this. Here's what he was thinking. Verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, so here's the purpose of family. Be fruitful and multiply or increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So the idea is, isn't it cool? This is family. You didn't want to start a fire? Yeah. Like, the point that God's purpose in all this is that he created man and woman to be just like the earth, right? So the earth has plants that have seeds. They drop little acorns, and those acorns grow into oak trees. You know what I mean? Like, he says, I have produced you to create a family that would be fruitful, would fill the earth with more kids, and those kids would grow up, and they would be engaged in creative, beautiful work. And this is all with a relationship with God. So this is before anything bad. And so the idea is, I want families to walk with God, to walk the earth, and make it basically a huge garden. And this isn't like saying subdue it. in the sense of kill things and deplete all the natural resources or anything like that. No, this is perfect. This is with God. It's in harmony with the earth. And so the idea is I want to create families that fill the earth and just make the earth into a giant garden where your needs are met, where it's beauty, where it's surrounded by beauty. It's everything. This is the purpose for it. But then, so that's God's purpose. It's supposed to be a blessing. It's supposed to be something for the earth. It's supposed to be something great for everybody. He even said, this is good. This is very good. So God loved it. Then, we know what happens, right? Adam and Eve, this is our story. So this is our creation narrative, which I just happen to like better than any other creation narrative I've ever heard. I mean, I believe it by faith. But still, no other creation narrative I've heard has ever given us purpose or meaning. All it can give us is you were random and lucky and you'll die and let's leave a legacy. It's not enough for me. I like this because I have a thoughtful creator. He has a purpose for families. He has a perfect purpose for you. Like, it's so much better. But it's funded by faith. But there was this fall. What happened? Adam and Eve broke from relationship with God. And as a result, there's a hardship between mother and child. There's a hardship between the earth. See, all the main characters get stressed. And this affects family. They all get stressed. And so you would think, Adam and Eve, right? They're the first family. Wouldn't you think that if you walked in the garden of God, you would have a good shot at raising great kids? You know what I mean? Like, if I knew Adam and Eve, I'm like, man, I bet your kids are so much better than mine. And they would say, oh, man, you don't even know. Cain, my son, he bludgeons my other son with a rock because he was mad at God. All right, that's the first family. Think about it. But it gets more confusing. Yeah, so don't you feel better now? Like, our kids haven't killed each other yet. You're already doing better than Adam and Eve. But then you go to Abraham. Abraham, he gets promised you're going to have a child. Well, we can't make a child, trust me. But we can't make a child. Trust me, I'm going to have kings come from you. But we can't make a child. So he solves it on his own. Has a child with Hagar. Hagar has the child, Ishmael. Right? Because Abraham couldn't wait. And neither could Sarah. But then, Sarah gets jealous and is like, what have we done? That strains the relationship. Then, when Isaac is finally given from God, the Bible talks about how Ishmael was making fun of Isaac. And then Ishmael's upset because he doesn't get the blessing. But he should. He's the firstborn. And so, in this great godly family, you have adultery, you have jealousy, you have favoritism. Right? And it all goes to Isaac. Let's look at the next godly family. Isaac. Isaac then goes on. He marries Rebecca. Rebecca and Isaac have two kids, Jacob and Esau. But Isaac loves Esau. He's my favorite. He's my boy. He's the outdoor guy. But mom, Rebecca, loves little Jacob. He's sensitive. He's an indoor guy. He's a musician. The other one's a hunter. Play that song again, Jacob. Oh, I love it. And then Isaac's like, shut up. Kill something. And what happens? There's contention. There's the whole plot. Jacob plots with his mom against his dad and his brother, steals the blessing. There's favoritism. There's stress in the marriage. Now see, this is like a generational pattern. And then you go to Jacob. Jacob has all the sons, but remember, who was his favorite son? Joseph. He gives him a special coat and he says, oh, I love my baby boy so much more than you guys. See, it used to be cool to have favorites. Now we have to act like we don't have a favorite child. But we all know. Come on. Consequences are different for the favorite child. I'm just kidding. Right now I'm building up how we do it wrong. Okay, so we'll get to the good part. But I'm just showing you. So then there's like all this drama because Jacob is a deceiver and there's favoritism and there's like these cycles of woundedness within families. And these are like good families. These are the families that God chose to carry his word to create the nation of Israel, to bring about the Savior of the world, Jesus, through this mixed up, broken family. Families. So there's some comfort there. But there's a lot of woundedness there. So God works, but there's also woundedness in the families that need to be healed. And then let's just go from the Bible for a second and go to how we look at families today. Because we don't think about it. Most TV shows, I love a good TV show that always ends with, but we're family. You know what I mean? Like, it is nice. But like, the highest value for a family on TV is always like, I accept you. It's not always like pushing them to grow or be better. You went to jail for a while, I accept you. Has the behavior changed? There's no accountability, you know? We'll take care of your 10 cats, we're family. They don't show it 5 years later when you're like looking around, you wanna kill the cat. Like, that's reality, right? But there is something that we connect to, like we do accept each other. Families are good and there's an acceptance. There's a love in family. There is this undeserved favor. But without God, it's hard. You know what family turns into? See if you relate to these words. So think family. Does the word obligation hit a chord? I can feel it. What about the word, disengage? Let me think. I wrote it down. Resignation? Like, I'm just, you know what? She is the way she is. He is going to do what he's going to do. Whatever. Does that ring a bell with family? What about fear? Does fear ring a bell? When the phone rings, you're like, oh, not today. Or I hope they're going to help me, or am I still in the will? I don't want to ask. This is what happens apart from God. But this is what happens even when we're with God. These are the temptations of family, where we start operating out of obligation, which builds resentment. And I do want to say right from the beginning, I can't answer. I know so many of you, I know all, most of your situations, and there's at least a handful of us, including myself, that have issues with our parents right now. And I want to tell you what to do. I so badly want to say, you should separate from them. You should work harder for them. You should come alongside them and pay for everything. You should not pay. I want to tell you what to do, but I can't. Because that's not how this works. So like, if you're looking for an answer today on what to do, I would say, let's just snuff that right now. I'm not going to give you that answer. But we have the opportunity to get into a relationship with God where God will walk you through that answer. And sometimes it's cut, and sometimes it's pick up. And I'll show you that. Because it's difficult. But what I want to do is tell you, you're forgiven for operating out of obligation, you're forgiven for resignation, and you are forgiven for fear. Because those things, they aren't healthy for us. And they actually hurt the people we love. It doesn't do anyone any good for you to, out of obligation, resent them every time you're helping them. It's not better. But how do we manage that, right? So this is family, period. Family without God, it's like, you're all on your own. It's rough. Family with God is a mix. Family with God is like, oh, God's still working, but we still have jealousy. We still have favorites. We still have resentment, right? So what I want to look at is what should we be looking for in family with Christ? So if we invite Jesus into this thing called family, what does that look like? That's what I want to know. And it's like, that's what I want to tell my kids for their family. That's what I want to tell you for your families. Not that we'd be perfect in it, but that we'd be pursuing these things. And the word for family, so love is grace in a family. The thing that goes through a family is grace. And grace is God's undeserved favor, love, and mercy because of the work of Christ. So for families to work, and that's why the church, we'll learn later, is like a family. For it to work, it's all about undeserved favor. So my kids, they don't deserve the air conditioning. They don't deserve the food. They don't deserve the doors, the windows. They don't deserve anything. They just go to the bathroom and consume time, money, energy, everything. But why do we love them? Does anybody love their kids? That's a real question. Why do we love our kids? Because they're us. Right. And there's a difference. Look with me. Let's go to John chapter 1. The first idea is we're not going to operate out of obligation with our families. We're going to operate out of this grace. And it starts with undeserved favor. And let me show you, for us to take this idea of grace into our families, our parents, or our kids, it has to be received first. You have to receive this grace from God. And the first place you realize that it's all a gift and it's undeserved is in John chapter 1, verse 28. If that's the verse. Whoa, verse 12, that's what it is. John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, that is Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You see that? It's not because you made a decision. It's not because I made a decision for you. It's not any. It's God chose to give you this favor. You're a child of God, born him. So he even uses the language like born. He's a father. So this language of family. And then I just wanted to go to John chapter 3, verse 3 through 8. This is with Nicodemus. He and Jesus himself uses the same language. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And that actually means born from above. That's the Greek. You're born from above. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Oh, Nicodemus, sweet, sweet Nicodemus. I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again or born from above. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So just like we give birth to children, we don't choose who our children are going to be. The same way in the spirit world, God chooses. God gives birth to us. And so right from the beginning, you are a child who receives undeserved favor. And just like a real child, we walk into things we didn't build. We receive things we didn't deserve or earn. And this is pivotal if we want to have a chance of giving grace to our parents, giving grace to our children, giving grace to our neighbors, or being in family. We have to be the people who first and foremost receive this grace and realize, you're my daddy. Everything I have is a gift. And that's hard. And what you'll see is when I can't receive that grace from God, it's hard for me to give that grace to my kids, my parents, my family. So I'm working hard. Let's just use a silly example. I'm working hard to keep the house clean because I want a clean house. But why do I want a clean house? I don't know, because I want to be a good homeowner or something. When my kids don't keep the house clean and they bring in stuff into the house, do I respond with grace or am I upset? Grace or law? Usually, it's law. What are you doing? Do you hate me? Do you hate the house? Where's your piggy bank? And when I do that, I recognize, then I usually feel guilty, like, man, that was mean. That was weird. And they speak truth sometimes. Tab, you're really, what's going on, buddy? I'm like, nothing's going on. You're going on. Get out of here.
He never does this.
I got to give examples. Other people are like this, son, not me. This is how it was in my house. And usually it's because I'm keeping myself to a standard that I'm not keeping. I'm feeling guilty because I haven't kept the house clean, right? And so I'm under that disfavor from something, from my parents, from somebody said something. Who knows? and I'm feeling ashamed, so then I pass it on to my kids. But when I can receive the grace and hear God say, hey man, I've given you this house, I forgive you for keeping it a mess sometimes. You take your time and learn how to take care of things. Thanks, God. Then I can have that same grace to my child. You see? But it goes the other way, too. When I receive grace from God, that he's my father, and that my earthly father has failed me, and labeled me, and hurt me, when I can receive everything my father, my earthly father, didn't give me, I can get it from God. Now I can start to have a shot at giving my real father on earth some grace. But you can't give it until you have it. And the grace of God will always give you undeserved favor, which the family pictures. We give each other undeserved favor. But there's something even better. The thing I like even better about the family of God and how a family, how it can affect our families on earth, is that God always gives a better story. God's always giving you somewhere to go as a family. So the original family is to create a garden, is to build something. It's like the Partridge Family. We're going to get in a bus and sing. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Good job. Right. Like the Partridge Family is a perfect family. Everything in a half an hour. But they had a goal. They were moving somewhere. They were doing something together. There's a story. So when someone doesn't do what they're supposed to, you don't get in cycles of dysfunction by going, oh, well, I better help them. No, they're not helping the goal of the story. You broke your guitar. Now you can't play. That's bad. See, in families, we have a hard time ever saying, okay, enough's enough. Because we always feel guilty, like, you should love your family. You should just do more. You should just burden more. Then you'll be a good boy. Be a good girl. Instead, it's like, what's our story? Where are we moving? So I know when to say, no, that's not the right direction. It's like we have no problem with children brushing their teeth. The story we have, a little story we have for our kids, is that their teeth don't fall out when they're 10 or when they get their adult teeth. So we teach them to brush their teeth. And we say, did you brush your teeth? Yes. And then we go and check their toothbrush and it's totally dry. Well, that's weird. This is dry. Oh, I don't know why. Because you didn't brush your teeth. That's an awkward conversation. But we have it with our children because the story is, please have good teeth in 2016 in America. Please. So often we don't have a good story. So with our parents, we can never say no because we don't know where we're going or doing. So we just say yes. Then we resent them. It's obligation. It's resignation. And it's fear. Because you'll feel like you did a bad job of it. Let me show you. This is true. Look at Jesus in Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, he's talking to a crowd like this, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, they said, Jesus, your mom and your brothers are out there, they want to speak to you. But see, they wanted to tell Jesus to stop. You're getting us in trouble. Jesus, you're really making the authorities mad. You've gone crazy. And Mark, it says they were scared that Jesus had gone too far. And they're like, tell Jesus to come out. Your mom is outside. And they're going to say, stop this. And here's Jesus' response. You'd think, right? We'd all just think. Jesus would go, oh, my mom, my dad, I love my mom. But here's what he does. He says, I'm busy, Ma. Who is my mother and who is my brothers? Who are my brothers? And he points to his disciples and he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Did you catch that? He says, these are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters. So does that mean we don't have to take care of our parents? Yes. No. It just means that Jesus had a story. He had something he was doing and his mother and his brother on earth weren't cluing into that. They weren't working towards that. So he said, you're on the wrong story right now. I'm going to continue on this one. That's healthy. It's loving. And then later on the cross, Jesus will actually say to John, John, take care of my mom, Mary. You're going to be a son to Mary. Mary, I'm giving you John to mother now. See, he loves. He still loves. But what I'm suggesting that is in our families, if we have a family, give everybody a better story. And for me and my family, it's let's give them the story of following Jesus and having grace of God. And then you're totally free underneath that story. You're free to be dentists or computer programmers or musicians, or you're free, you know, like I give my kids, like we all like the Seattle Seahawks and we like music and we play and sing. Like that's my little narrative underneath the big one. But my biggest desire for my kids is that they know where life is and they know God. Because I know if they're with God, they'll be all the things parents say. I know they'll be happy and I know they'll be fulfilled and they'll find work and all, God will take care of all that. But I want them to know God because that's a bigger and better story. And that's what God wants for us. And that's what we want for even our families we're taking care of. For the people, we pray for them and we ask God, what's the story we're building? And if people can't go with it, we trust the Lord. The final thing, you got story, but there's also in families an inheritance, right? Anybody promised a big inheritance? Anybody waiting for it? I know, right? Most of us. I don't know. The 70s are rough on everybody. But there's no inheritance. Big stock. The stock market fell not too long ago. The tech boom, that bubble really took away all of our inheritances, right? But part of the blessing of family is that there's something being left behind for you. And we don't always have these things. But God has given us an inheritance. And I definitely want to look at this one. Romans 8. This will be our last Bible verse for today. Maybe. I don't know. Romans 8, chapter 14. This is a beautiful promise of your inheritance in the family of God. And these are inheritances we can give one another. Verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba. Abba Father, which is Daddy. Right? It's a term of endearment. It's closeness. It's no fear. Just running up to your Daddy. Daddy, Daddy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. That there's this amazing inheritance through Christ from God. In fact, Christ secures our inheritance. The thing we gave up, he gives back. The thing that we deserve to lose, he restores. When I think about family, so many of us deserve to lose a lot, to deserve to forfeit grace. We've been selfish, we've been rude, or we've been resentful. Or we've been used by people. We've been wounded. We've been hurt by families. I know I have. But the good news is that in family, even in broken families, we don't choose them. The grace of God can penetrate them. And for me, God has become a better father than my real father. And the promise to my kids is that I can give Lowry a better father than me. With a better story, with more love, and more inheritance than we could ever muster on our own. And so, it takes the pressure off from hoping that our families give us what we need. Like, I hope my kids prove that I was a good parent. No. I trust my kids to the Lord. And I still work with them. We still do everything, but we don't have to carry the weight of that. And then when they fail us, be mad. We don't have to ask our parents to give us back everything they stole. We can ask our Father in heaven. And that opens up grace. And grace will start to look like the opposite of obligation, love. Instead of resigning, there's hope because there's a better story. We're moving somewhere. And instead of fear, there's something better. There's a spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba Father, Daddy. So we're asking God to give our families grace and asking for the grace of God to give to others. I don't know how it's going to work out with many of our parents that are getting older I don't know how the decisions you have to make, but I do know you can go to the God who knows all this and loves you and has poured out on you undeserved favor. You can go to him and ask him instead of just doing what you think you're supposed to do. The full extent of God's love, Jesus sent his son to die for you. And so your sins are forgiven. All the guilt and accusation aside, we have a chance now at loving people. I wanted to pray. I found this prayer. There's a father's blessing and a mother's blessing. What I'm going to do is, before we move into the Lord's Supper, I'm going to pray this prayer. And I'm not your father. I'm going to pray it as though I am your father. So you have to engage it as much as you can. But I'm giving you God's blessing and acknowledging that our earthly fathers, what they couldn't do. So prepare yourselves. It may move you. Be moved. It may do nothing. That's still good. But receive a father's blessing. Just close your eyes for a few minutes and receive this. I'm not your father, but I pray this in his place. I ask you, your heavenly Father, to richly bless you in all the places I failed to bless you. I ask the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his cross and blood, to set you free now from any harsh or cruel words that I said, especially the ones you keep remembering over and over. I am so sorry. I ask the Lord to set you free from heart injuries you sustained from me or from others in whose care I placed you. I ask the Holy Spirit to set you free from heartache, disappointments, dreads, grief, or rage you cannot resolve. I'm so sorry for any other struggles I may have caused you. May you be healed from being ignored by me or overindulged by me. If I ever made you feel less than or not good enough, I am deeply sorry and ask you to please forgive me. May the Lord set you free from working so hard to please me when nothing ever would. May the Lord set you free from trying to get from me what I never had to give you. I am so sorry. May the Lord set you free from blaming me for failing you, not because I need that, but so that you can be free to grow, receive, and to achieve. May you be creative in ways you have not imagined. May the Lord give you all things I was unable or unwilling to give you. May the Lord guide you in ways I never could and grant you peace. May the Lord free you from the effects of my addictions, my anxieties, and my anger. May the Lord free you from feeling that you have to always be perfect or that you have to be what I expect you to be. I pray that God will help you to see that the hurt and pain I caused you came from my own childhood. It limited me, and I am so sorry if it has limited you. I pray that God will remove from you any belief that you were not wanted or loved. I pray that the Lord will release you from any unhealthy bond that you may have with me. I want you to keep all of the good that came from me and give what you do not need to God. My beloved son, my precious daughter, I love you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad you were born. I'm so thankful that you are here. God, your heavenly Father, cause your life to flourish and be fulfilled in his healing grace. Holy Spirit, begin to break up and minister to us your word and your life and your love. We thank you that you are our Father. And we praise you and we trust you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.